every once in a while when I try to picture State Representative Alex Andrade listening to his old school rap, it stretches even my capacity for imagination. But then again, people probably think that about me, too. So, 640 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And joining us now, we have State Representative for District 2, Alex Andrade. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Anything new, fun, exciting going on in your neck of the woods?
Not only. You want to talk about Milton? Just kidding. All right.
I had great breakfast this morning. Oh, I don't know what else is newsworthy.
There you go. All right. So Matt Gaetz has been nominated to be the Attorney General for the United States, and this creates all kinds of local political shakeup. But before we get to that, because that's really interesting, there's a lot of pushback in D.C., according to the news reports, and some of the quotes, you know, some are on record, some are not, saying that he will never get nominated, or he will never get confirmed. He will never get through the Senate. Does he have to get through the Senate? Can he be a recess appointment? Is there a way for him to be the Attorney General without getting advising consent from the United States Senate?
Yes. And that really is. I mean, you can see the track record of recess appointments. You can see the track record of kind of acting appointments without a Senate confirmation. I think that in this circumstance, that's very likely to happen. And so the confirmation process for him through the Senate is not a real concern from my standpoint now.
Interesting. So do you think that they'll even bother doing a confirmation process, or will he just make the recess appointment and wait it out 2 years until Matt runs for governor, if he does?
I don't know. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not familiar with all of the different machinations of DC politics. Because a lot of it's a waste of time. So I couldn't fully tell you what's going to happen, but what I can tell you is that Congressman Gaetz and President Trump both have a healthy dislike for those machinations,
yeah.
And there's no one better at kind of breaking those procedural machinations than now former Congressman Gaetz. So I am confident it will all be resolved in due time.
Now, one of the other elements of this, of course, is that we're going to have and by the way, I don't know if you want to opine, about Gaetz as Attorney General. One of my concerns about him as Attorney General is independence from the president. One of my other concerns about him as Attorney General is he's never really run an organization. And, you know, there's a healthy it's kind of like my same concern about the Department of Defense nomination is these are people who don't seem to have the level of operational executive experience that you would want. But any thoughts about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at the number of folks who are appointed year in and year out to U.S. attorney positions across the country. Look at the people who've previously served in this role. The one qualification generally is they need to be a lawyer.
Right.
Not necessarily a manager. The separation between the president is not a big concern for me. I think that sometimes the betrayals of President Trump in his first term by folks like Bill Barr and Jeff Sessions were things that kind of stuck out to a lot of folks. So I think that relationship is a healthy thing, especially when you're talking about trying to eliminate some of that swamp, some of that bureaucracy that kind of hinders this type of progress. Think about all the different times you've seen the specter of an investigation kind of shut someone's credibility down without any background or any named source actually coming out and saying something was happening.
And who knows that better than Matt Gaetz? I mean, who has experienced that better than Trump and Matt Gaetz, right? Both of them.
Matt's father was extorted. Someone tried to extort him. A former federal felon who just gotten out of federal prison was aware of an investigation of a congressman. How did that former felon who just gotten out of prison become aware of a DOJ investigation of a congressman?
Right.
Like those are questions that no one has ever even bothered asking. And those are things that I'm looking forward to getting to the bottom of.
Yeah. If you look at Matt, in my opinion, if you look at Matt as he's going to clean it up, he's aware of the problems, he's going to, fire and heads are going to roll. And he's the sort of, in the DOJ version of Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk getting in there to clean up other bureaucratic elements. And again, a Trump loyalist, clearly a Trump loyalist who's going to, do the things that Trump wants, as you say, you know, Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr did not turn out quite that way. So, yeah, no, it's a very, very interesting pick. Alex, let's turn now to what it means locally, because not only did Matt get nominated for attorney general, but he resigned his position as a state representative. This is going to lead to special election. And will there be a primary before that special election?
Yeah, there needs to be a primary before the special election. It's not going to be like some type of open primary where everyone is a free-for-all. There will be a primary, and then a few weeks later, there will be a general. Hopefully, it'll happen quickly. I saw the announcement from Governor DeSantis that he'd already directed Secretary of State Cord Byrd to come up with a plan before he comes back from Italy. So I think you'll have that announcement, at least on the congressional special elections, in the next few days. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the domino effect here in the panhandle now.
All right, let's start with the easy one. You're in, you're out. What's your opinion? Because I have told people that you don't want the job.
Yeah, I have a daughter who's not quite 2 years old yet, and she's grown up more and more every single day, like to the point that I don't want to blink. I happen to like hanging out with my wife and my daughter, and I'd like to potentially have more children in the future, so... the idea of going to Congress is not appealing, mainly just because I wouldn't be able to do the job well. Like I'd want to spend too much time with my family, and that's one job where you got to be kind of out for yourself. So not for me. I'm not built for it.
So there are
some people whose life circumstances are different, though. I heard you mention, you know, Ashton Hayward a second ago. I think Ashton's in a perfect life situation to do it. I think he's built for this type of job. I think he'd be great. I think someone like Frank White would be incredible as well. I trust Frank. I think he's got a lot of integrity. There's going to be a lot of names coming out that I think people will be surprised by in the very near future.
What I would say are the top four that I've heard a lot, or five really, are the two you said, you know, former Mayor Hayward and Frank White, and then former state representative Frank White. And then Don Gates, Michelle Salzman, and Utmeyer, the chief of staff. And I also keep hearing this guy who I do not know him particularly, but the superintendent out of Walton County, is it? Okaloosa County, Marcus Chambers. Any thoughts about any of those contenders?
Yeah. Marcus Chambers, I think, is if Marcus Chambers wants to leave being superintendent over in Okaloosa County, I think he'd be a real contender from over there. And he would probably be the spoiler. Historically, what happens in these kinds of races is if Gambie County eats its own, you got a lot of different ambitious people and they'll run, and then no one will get out of the way for each other. And then you'll have one singular person that Okaloosa County supports, and that person generally has an edge going into it. He could be that person. And so, you know, that's one thing to look out for is, I mean, that happens regularly.
Interesting. So, yeah, and do you give any credibility to the idea that Don Gates, that Matt's dad, would actually run for this seat?
I don't want to speak for Don.
Sure.
If I were to guess, no. So I reached out to Don last night just to let him know. It's like, I don't want to be your son. I want to help your son however I can. I don't want to be your son. I'm not going to run. I don't think Don wants to be his son either. I think Don wants to help his son.
Yeah, no, I think that's true.
So my assumption is that Don's going to be serving in the state Senate with me as his counterpart in the state House, and we'll do some good things this session.
Yeah, no, that's agreed. And I think you're right. I think there's going to be, I mean, I don't know whether we're going to have five people on this ballot or 30 people on this ballot, because it could be 30. I mean, I was coming up with names like, I'm like, D.C. Reeves, you know, is another possibility. Nathan Boyles is another possibility that I've mentioned. Either of the Burgosh brothers, I think, is a possibility. I think James Calkins might think he can get this seat. Like, there's mentioning the sheriff.
Nathan Boyles could do it.
Yep.
Doug Broxton could do it.
Yep.
Chip Simmons could do it. There's lots of folks who I think would be contenders in a primary, right? Like, I think that you need a someone with, like, an impeccable conservative record for a primary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the folks that you mentioned, there's dossiers on them a mile high, right? So, like, there's some folks that just aren't realistic. But if you're talking about a...
Well, it's a question of whether you ask all the rest of us or whether you ask them. Because you've got to be... you've got to... Look, I say this with as much... With respect, honestly. You've got to be a little bit of a, you know, egomaniac in order to run for Congress in the first place. You just... You've got to so believe in yourself. You've got to so believe that you're capable, that you're ready, that it's your time for any of these big offices. You know, you've got to kind of have that. And, you know, a lot of people on this list have that. Not all of them do, but a lot of them do.
The difference is the scrutiny for something like this seat versus like a state house race is magnitudes different.
Right.
So, like, I think that, you know, some folks will probably be surprised by the scrutiny they'll get and their, like, inability to kind of, like, skirt around uncomfortable issues very soon. And that'll be interesting as well. But, again, like, I mean, shoot, if Senator Broxton wanted to run for this seat, I'd be hard-pressed to say anybody, you know, is a lock to be in a better position to win it.
Yeah,
I mean,
same.
Like, pretty much run in this seat three times.
Right, and overwhelming victories and very high name recognition and well-liked. I don't know if he wants it or not. I kind of had that same thinking about Chip Simmons. I mean, I think if Chip wanted it, he could probably have it depending on who else is in. I don't think he wants it, but, you know, that's – and also I think that would put him at odds with some other people who are, you know, otherwise pretty well aligned with him. I think he's pretty happy doing what he's doing right now. So last thing I just wanted to ask
– On the flip side, Bob Johnson.
Yeah, no, right. Agreed. Agreed. Bob, I thought all the sheriffs, you know, Mike Adkinson, Eric Aden. I mean, like any of your four sheriffs could potentially, I mean, want this.
Someone's going to text me and say that they're angry I didn't mention their name, Andrew. I'm starting, I will. I feel like I've seen certain, like, rattling off names.
You can't win. I mean, even, you know, it's funny. As I was brainstorming my list last night, I mean, I came up with people like, you know, Doug Underhill and David Morgan and Malcolm Thomas and, you know, Holly Benson. And, you know, like, you start really thinking about
who's... Doug Underhill and Gene Valentino.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You got plenty of former... Like, Gene Valentino's got the financial resources and connections in other parts of the country that he'd probably be a better fit for it than Doug Underhill.
And he's got, you know, he's back in the media doing stuff. So, yeah, no, there's all kinds of potential here. It's going to be a big old hot mess. One last thing just before I let you go. If an elected current does decide to run, they'd have to resign. Like, particularly I'm thinking of, if Michelle Salzman decides to run, she would have to resign to do so, right?
Yeah, and I've already had that conversation with the speaker. Yeah, so to qualify, you have to resign your current position.
Okay. Very good. Anything I missed to ask you that you want to tell people? Any of your thoughts? Because that's why I wanted to have you on, because I knew you weren't running, and I knew you'd offer candidate opinions. So any other things I didn't ask you want to say?
The opportunities for Matt Gaetz to go actually make reform and fight the deep state that we can't even fathom. The opportunities and the incredible one. How amazing is it that our congressman is now going to be the Attorney General for the United States? Like we haven't had an elected statewide official in decades, and now this area has the Attorney General for the United States is from the Panhandle. What an amazing opportunity for Northwest Florida. I could not be prouder of him and excited to see what he does.
Yeah, I agree about that same exact sentiment. Alex Andrade, he's our state representative for District 2. Alex, thanks so much for the time this morning. I know with your kids and family, you know, you'd always rather be spending time with them, but I appreciate it. And you're always so available, so I really appreciate that. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew.